Hi everyone, I'm Ann Henney from East Bay Wealth. Wealth US and Wealth International have long promoted the concept of moving money from war to peace and the Don't Bank on the Bomb project too. Cities around the country are working on long-term resolutions to actively divest their funds from the war machine and encourage folks to understand what vital human needs could be funded instead. Could your city be one of those? We're about to hear from a leader in Pittsburgh whose organization is working on resolutions to do just that. You'll hear practical suggestions for your own city, resolutions, and local organizing. Jot down your questions during the presentation. And in the greatest domestic aid program since the New Deal and LBJ's War on Poverty, trillions of dollars are being allocated by the federal government to assist Americans as they recover from the economic downturn during COVID. But the devil is in the details. Where are those dollars coming from? And will they be distributed equitably and innovatively to the people and small businesses who most need help? Now is the chance to follow that money closely in your own city, county, and state to monitor and make sure that allocation is fair, not just going to the usual suspects, but to those communities and families who've been most hard hit. Nancy Price, the co-chair of the Earth Democracy Committee of Wealth US, is with us to explain more about the short window of opportunity to protect those public funds and direct them equitably in your community. And she'll talk more about the opportunities during the Biden administration to make a strong case for defunding the military and moving the money to human needs. Nancy, welcome.
Thank you very much, and welcome to Paul for being our guest today. Paul and I have not met, except by voice, I guess, because we're members of the coordinating committee of the Move the Money campaign, one of the campaigns that was developed by the U.S. Peace Council. Paul is a 13-year veteran of the Army, and so he is a member of the Veterans for Peace and co-director of the Christian Alliance for Peace. He lives in, he's an ordained minister in the Syro-Chaldean Church of North America and lives in Pittsburgh with his wife and their three teenage children. No doubt he's also working on climate action plans with his teenagers who must be involved in the Sunrise Movement. He's he's been involved in the Move the Money campaign steering committee, and so you'll be hearing from a person who's really been developing campaign materials. And so welcome, Paul, and why don't you begin now?
Thank you, Nancy, and it's great to be here with all of you this evening. I hope you can hear me. I knocked down the maestro technology. Am I being heard?
Yes.
Oh, great. That's wonderful. Well, it's great to be here with you. And I have been working with WILP folks here in Pittsburgh for over 7 or 8 years now. And I want to just give out a shout out to two of the most strong, powerful, beautiful women that I've met here in Pittsburgh, Edith Bell, who I first met with the Anti-War Committee, and Susan Smith, who I'm currently working with on several projects. These women are just dynamos, and I am in just awe of both of them and all that they do for the peace and justice movements. And it is great to be here with WILPF. I actually had to correct someone who was much older than I was when I was at a recent event, and I said, oh, she's with WILPF, and the person says, I think it's just Women's International League for Peace. I said, no, it's Peace and Freedom, WILPF. And it reminded me that Jane Addams, of course, was the person who connected peace and justice for so many of us early on. Before I get going, I want to give you a little background. I am a person who believes in relationships, deeply in relationships. In fact, I hope Susan doesn't get mad at me, but just recently we shared a little bit about ourselves personally, because so often when we're organizing in various groups, we're very task-oriented, and we don't get to know each other. And, you know, I have the mic, so you're going to get to know me, and hopefully maybe I'll get to know a little bit of you later on. But quickly, I'm originally from New York City. I was born in Queens in 1964 to Puerto Rican immigrants. Both of my parents come from the San Juan area in Puerto Rico. And so I grew up in New York City, and I was sort of a wild kid, a teenager, and always sort of anti-war and anti-imperialist, even as a teenager. But after flunking out of college, I decided to join the Army because I needed to get out of my situation, one of those situations where a lot of people join the military just to get out of their situation back home. And I'm never really a big fan of the Army. I served as a communications specialist, but I did 6 years in the Army as my contract demanded, and I got out by the skin of my teeth, I think. I got in trouble a lot. But right after I got out was about 1990, and we were about to go into the first Iraq War. And I remember protesting against the first Iraq War, and I would wear my button called, "Where is April Glaspie?" As some of you may know, April Glaspie was the U.S. ambassador to Iraq, who basically gave the green light to Saddam Hussein to invade Kuwait, and not a lot of people know that. So that was my first true work in the anti-war movement. And I started to study for ministry and about 1994, 95, and by 1999, I graduated and was ordained in 2001. And of course, it was around that time when September 11 happened, and my first real ministry was down at the World Trade Center, ministering to the firemen and to the emergency coordinators who were digging their brothers out of the rubble, a very significant time. And I was one of the very few people who wrote openly against the war in Afghanistan and wrote a piece called, I can barely remember it, "A Church United Unites Under the Wrong Flag," meaning that the church should not be united under the United States flag as it calls for war. And then in 2003, I marched with hundreds of thousands of people, maybe a million people in New York City, against the second Iraq War. In 2004, my bishop had me move to Pittsburgh, and I took over a church in just outside of Pittsburgh. Very conservative, moving from New York to Pittsburgh, the outskirts of Pittsburgh, and very evangelical type of folks, very patriotic, and they really didn't sometimes like what I had to say. But I remember quickly, somebody had said that many of the soldiers in Iraq and Afghanistan did not have any spiritual support. And I said, "Well, that's real sad." And the person said, "Well, you were in the Army and you're a minister. Why don't you go and be a chaplain?" I said, "Well, I'm 43 years old at the time, 2007. And I said, "I really can't do that." And nevertheless, I found myself back in the Army in 2008. And I thought I was doing something very good by helping soldiers dealing with the horrors of war. And when I went to Iraq, I realized the mistake I'd made. That even though I was helping soldiers deal with the inhumanity of war and imperialism, but by putting on the uniform again, I really betrayed my own moral compass. I betrayed the reality that for me, Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and all Christians are called to be peacemakers. And so in 2014, after almost 13 years in the Army, I joined Veterans for Peace and Iraq Veterans Against the War, and refocused myself on what was my calling as a minister, as a human, and that was that war is one of the most inhumane things that we do on Earth. But there was no active group in Pittsburgh in that time, and I wound up going to the Thomas Merton Center in Pittsburgh, named after the great monk and peacemaker himself. And I met Molly Rush, one of the original Plowshares 8, who went to Westinghouse and did a civil disobedience action against them and went to jail for that. I joined the anti-war committee where I met Edith Bell and was introduced to Wilf for the first time. And our first order of business was reconstituting Veterans for Peace, and that was a wonderful time to help rebuild that, and I really do feel good about being a catalyst for change. I've served in a lot of leadership positions and find that organizing people is a great calling, a great privilege and honor to gather people together in a common cause. We had our first March for Peace in Pittsburgh in 2017, and it was a great event, but it almost burnt out the 20 or so people that were working on it. We had a few hundred people show up on the streets for a great event, but it took everything we had to pull it off. And I asked the question in a debrief. I said, "We need to do something different than trying to organize one big event that happens for just a few hours." And a friend of mine from the Merton Center said, "We should do campaigns that build from the bottom and keep going." That's when we started PNC Stop Banking the Bomb. We had just gotten the Don't Bank on the Bomb report in 2018, and we are now in our third year of that campaign that I started with just a few other people. And I say that with just a few other people because that's really all it takes. And we have literally done over 100 actions against PNC Bank. We have a resolution that all the shareholders are voting on at this annual meeting. We've been at their annual meetings, and we do not stop. We're not going to give up. We're going to continue working and be on the streets. We've had some solidarity actions at different places around the country as well with other people working with us. But we call it PNC Stop Banking the Bomb. It's a very Pittsburgh type of thing. In 2020, I got a call from my friend in New York from the U.S. Peace Council, and he said, we're trying to put together some Move the Money campaigns in various cities. We see what you've done with Stop Banking the Bomb. Do you think you could do that with Move the Money? And I thought, well, that's pretty much corresponds, right? There's the nuclear piece, and then there's the whole military piece, and I've been one who's believed that we do not have a military budget for the defense of this country. We have a military budget for the control of the world. And since the majority of Americans have no interest in controlling the world, nor having more nuclear weapons, and more than 50% of the people say this, yet our government does not listen to them, then yes, Move the Money means a lot to me. We need to figure out a way to get our politicians to listen to the people. If the people are the ones who sent them to Washington, then they should be voting for a drastic reduction. And of course, we're saying 10% at first because we know the reality of jobs. It's the military is a big jobs program, and the contractors are big manufacturing programs, so we can't just shut the military down. But we can work towards that goal. And so I joined the Move the Money Steering Committee and met Nancy Price. And it's been a joy and a pleasure working with all of the folks from around the country in various cities and hearing about their successes and their struggles. And so that's sort of my story. And again, I think Nancy mentioned I have three teenagers, so I need prayer because I don't think they write books about that. But I think one of the things that I've learned is that I work full-time. I'm the chief of chaplains, and this is really should be mentioned because I'm not here representing the Veterans Affairs hospitals. I'm the chief of chaplains for the Veterans Affairs healthcare system in the Pittsburgh region and oversee 26 chaplains as we care for the older veterans in the veterans' homes. So I do that 50 hours a week. I have my family, and which is a priority for me, and I do organizing, and it can be done. Some people say, I don't mean to be crass here, but some people say, I can't believe how much you do. And this would be no slight against anyone on this call, because I'm sure many of you do a lot too, but I'm amazed at how little some people do. Not so much how much I do. It's just a matter of organization of time and prioritizing those things that are important. And so for me, coming against the incomprehensible a number of killing of human beings on this planet by governments that claim to take the moral high ground has to be stopped. It is a moral imperative, not just for Christians, but for all people. We are not designed to kill one another. We are like other animals. We are not designed it is not in our humanity to kill people, though some people might have us believe that it's a natural thing for us to kill one another. It's not. It's very unnatural. So I think, I don't know if Michael has on the screen the first slide, which is the Move the Money campaign structure. And I do want to just show you that. I'm going to put it up there now. And so when I got the call from New York to put this together, I had a few people in my group, anti-war group, that I knew, and I asked those three or four people, hey, do you want to try to do another campaign while we're doing the Stop Banking the Bomb campaign? It wouldn't be a lot of bandwidth because a lot of the stuff we're doing and the relationships we've already developed will just be tapped into. And so I started out with this mini steering committee of three or four of us, including myself, and then asked them, are there three or four other people who we work with that would be interested in this as well? And they said, yeah, how about this person? And we asked, and they all agreed because they all knew that we were committed to anti-war, anti-imperialist work, and we had our first meeting back in August. We made the decision that this work needed three different areas to focus on. In Pittsburgh, we're allowed to have public hearings before our city council. And as you probably can tell, I'm not talking about the political ramification or the political need to do this. I expect and suspect that everybody on this call already agrees, so I don't have to do this whole spiel about why we need to do these kinds of things. I'm an organizer, and so my idea is how do we mobilize and organize people to do the work that will accomplish the goals that we're setting out to do. And so I'm in that way very much, you know, balancing the work and relationship aspects of what we do. Let's get people together, humans who are being humans together for the cause of peace and organize others to join us. And so that eight-people steering committee then was broken up into three committees. The first was the resolution draft subcommittee. And all these documents, by the way, you're only going to see a few, but I've uploaded and offered a link to all of you to take all of these documents. I've taken the names out of a lot of the stuff, and you can just use these things. They took a while to create. Yes, there has to be that sort of mobilizer, bottom liner who gets a lot of this stuff started. But once you get it into place, things start cooking, and you get that momentum. So we put a resolution draft subcommittee together. We had a friend who was a writer from the CMU, a great school here in Pittsburgh, and she took the samples that we got from New Haven in New York, took a few things about Pittsburgh that we knew about our own politics in Pittsburgh, and we recognized that our mayor had signed on a few years ago to be a mayor for peace. And in fact, drafted a resolution at the Mayors for Peace Conference in 2000, I think it was 18 or 19, that they would reduce the military budget. So no brainer. Let's hold them to account. These guys, they signed these paperworks, these proclamations, and then do nothing about it. And so I think it's important for us. So we had the resolution draft subcommittee, and then the public hearing, which we can do here in Pittsburgh. It may not be something you can do in your town, but I would say if you don't have a public hearing committee, you would use what we call a organizational outreach committee, which we now have as well. Since our resolution is done, we have replaced the resolution draft subcommittee with the organizational outreach subcommittee, which is a committee that reaches out to other organizations like WELP, who are now sponsors of Move the Money Pittsburgh. The third is the council outreach subcommittee, and that's made up of a few people who will send letters out, set up meetings with the city council members so that they can begin to show them the resolution, tell them what we're doing, and find some co-sponsors who will introduce this legislation to the city council. So that's how we structured our campaign, just with seven or eight people, and now we'll move to the next slide, which is the campaign timeline. And so basically I set this up so that everyone would know that this is not a high bandwidth work. We're not doing this in a month or 2 months. We're going to do this over a 7 to 8, 12-month period. We started in August, which was our kickoff. We're now in that sort of between the yellow and the orange in April. Our public hearing has been scheduled and council member visits continue. Our public hearing is next Wednesday, this Wednesday coming up the 14th. So we've got that hearing. We've got speakers. And I do want to just say one amazing thing. Through all of this outreach to all of these folks, a person from the county council, Allegheny County, which is where Pittsburgh is located, a friend of ours who's a member of the DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America. She's a Democrat as her party, but she's wonderful. Councilwoman Anita Prizio, she goes, I love this. When are you going to bring it to Allegheny County? Well, if you'll see the last green one, it says celebration, resolution is passed, major press conference, and then MTM phase two begins, Move the Money phase two, which was to go to Allegheny County. Anita Prizio says, I love it. I'm going to draft my own. And within a month, she had it before county council, and it passed last week at county council. So now we have a passed resolution at county council, which we're now showing to the city council that, look, the county beat you. and we're really excited. And that's what happens when these relationships are built. And simple asks for assistance or participation are given to these folks. So this is again, I've taken out all the dates. You can pop those things in, change the all the information on there. It's all editable. How am I doing on time?
We're a little over, but keep going. Maybe we can move a little faster through the slides.
Okay, well, that one is done, and I just want to bring up this last one here. Michael, if you put up the picture of the gerrymandered city map. I don't know if it's frozen or not. Anyway, one of the things. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
If you refresh, yeah, it's there now. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. The PNG file didn't come out very colorful here. It looks different when you download it. Nevertheless, so we just identified all of our council members, because when you talk to a council member, and whether you live in a town of 1,000 or a town of 10 million, like in New York, these council people only talk to constituents normally. They'll talk to anyone, but they'll talk to constituents because they know their voters. And so one of the more important things to do is when your steering committee is put together, your 8, 9, 12 people, you're now going to, each one of them are going to start reaching out to people they know so that they can be conduits as well to the council persons. So you'll want to put maps like this together of your own, get all the data, and I put all those sheets together for you so that you can just plug in and play these documents to do these in your town. Again, I'm so grateful to be here with you. I hope that there's some inspiration and some transformation that has taken place that may give you the desire to join this great movement, because we do believe that we are in a moment that's become a movement to not only rid our world of nuclear weapons, but also to end the wars that have been so prevalent in our world. So thank you so much. It's been a blessing to be here with you, and I do want to hang around and hear questions and hear what you have to say and learn about what you're doing. And I just so appreciate you all, and I will end by saying peace be with you.
Thank you, Paul. If anyone has questions for Paul, please raise your hand now by pressing number 1 on your phone keypad. And as a reminder, the link to all of Paul's documents is on the text pad, so you can see them all just by clicking that link. And
which all those documents are actually featured right now on the screen. So all those documents, when you click the link,
yeah,
all those documents
are right
there.
Yeah, you can see how many there are. He's brought us a powerhouse of documents and organizing materials. So let's see, do we have any hands up, Michael? Yes, we do.
I see
Ellen Schwartz in Sacramento Valley.
Okay.
Nisla. Ellen, go ahead. Your mic is open. Are you there, Mike? Are you there, Ellen?
Ellen is there. Hold on 1 second. Go ahead, Ellen.
Yeah, okay. So can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So to be quick, we're thinking about doing something like that here in Sacramento. And actually a couple of groups trying to get various petitions, including Move the Money One, before our city council. The question is how to do the ask. I mean, some council member, at least one, has to present it to the council for there to be a public hearing on it, I believe. And so you just talk to them all until you find at least somebody that says yes. More details on that, please. Thank you.
Sure. That's a great question. And every city's charter is different. If they have what's called a home rule charter, there's a likelihood that you can have a hearing irrespective of whether the city council wants you to talk about it or not. We have gone to all of our city council. We emailed, we sent a letter, and then we followed up with a phone call. And then if they didn't call back, we followed up with another phone call. I sent another round of emails. And then a reporter asked, after they saw that they hear, since we weren't getting a lot of movement from them, because they go, oh, this doesn't have anything to do with us. Well, no, it does have a lot to do with you. We have to convince them of that. The reality is, once a newspaper reporter saw that our hearing was scheduled, he called up all the city council people and said, where do you stand on this Move the Money thing? And before you knew it, several of the council people said, oh, I'm all for this. Though one had told us that he was against it. So he just basically signed himself up. So in Pittsburgh, at least, we are allowed to have a hearing just by getting enough signatures of Pittsburgh residents. So every city has its own charter, and you'll have to look at what that charter says about public hearings in your city, about how you might go about it. At some cities, you'll need a majority of the council members before you can get a hearing. Some you just need two who will co-sponsor. Again, I think it'd be, once you download the document from the city website of the charter, you can find out that information.
Well, and after Paul's presentation, Cheryl is going to speak for a bit, and some of her resource guides that she's preparing will have information about how to access ideas for what this money could fund in your city if it wasn't going to the military. The next person is Laura Dewey from Detroit. Go ahead, Laura.
Yeah, my question is, how, let's say a certain number of city councils, county commissioners, whatever, sign on to this resolution. And it's how will they be leveraged for something else? In other words, what is the next step? How can it be leveraged other than just those resolutions sitting there and people forgetting about them?
Right. So the resolution, as you look at our resolution, it has several things that the council members have to do. It is not a proclamation. It is a resolution. It's a law. And it requires the city council members to call and write and send the resolution to the federal Congress senators and ask them to tell them whether they will join the Military Spending Reduction Caucus that was started by Barbara Lee and Mark Pocan. So this is the ask, right? You're a councilman, you passed this, now you have to go to, in Pennsylvania, Senator Toomey, Senator Casey, Congressman Doyle, and Congressman Lamb, and you have to sit with them, call them, do whatever, you've agreed to do this. And now you have to get their answer. Of course, our second phase now is to go and say, the people are behind this. Are you gonna join this? And we keep putting that pressure on. Council members are doing this, city council members are doing this. We also put pressure on the mayor. The mayor has to be involved because the council is telling the mayor, you're going to live up to your signing this military reduction thing you signed in the national conference. So take a look at the three documents that I put in the packet and read those resolutions. You'll see how we're working them to begin doing that work. And then phase two is what they did in New Haven. That's passing an ordinance, which means that the city is now going to start dealing with military contracting in their own locality. So this is the first stage of a multi-stage process utilizing local politics. All politics are local, so we're doing this local. We're going to move our way up instead of, you know, so we know there are a lot of lobbyists. We know a lot of good people doing stuff in Washington, even Veterans for Peace and WILP and Peace Action and all those groups. We love it, but we're going to work tandemly on the ground in our localities.
Okay, Nancy Hatcher from Fresno, California. Go ahead, Nancy.
Excuse me? Can you hear me?
Yes,
I can.
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Actually, I had two questions, and you've already answered them. And the second one was getting your city council or mayor to move forward. So California, for example, such a big state with so many representatives, congressional representatives, I'm wondering, would one city, Fresno, if we were not joined by other cities, what kind of success might we have? I think what I'm wondering is if we could do something like this in Fresno, which is extremely conservative, Republican led at the moment, would it not be better for us to try to find a coalition with other WILF organizations like Sacramento, like the Bay Area? Does that make sense?
Yeah, sure. It does. I think the folks in New York called me from the Peace Council, they were looking at this, you know, from a national perspective. Pittsburgh is not a big city. It's a reputable city in the sense that it has a reputation, right? Not that it's a great, you know, in any sense of the word, a extraordinary city. But people know Pittsburgh because of the steel industry. And each one of these cities, Syracuse, New Haven, of course, New York's in the midst. They're just very close, a huge city. But Sacramento is a big city. I mean, it's not huge, probably the size of Pittsburgh, I guess. I don't know how many, my cousin lives out there. But imagine if 30 cities passed these resolutions. We did this in 6 months. In 6 months, we got the county on. We believe in the next 3 months, we'll have the city on. And then we keep working this. We keep building more. We get these successes. People love success. People follow success. So I would say start out small. The smaller the cities, the more possible it is to get to all these folks. Now, Los Angeles is very close from what I understand. I don't know who's leading that, but I think there's a coalition down there working already, and they're pretty close. They're a little more liberal, obviously, down in Los Angeles, but progressive, I should say. But nevertheless, just imagine if there were 50 cities that had a move the money resolution. And we're already up to four or five now, so we just started last August. what an impact that would say, what a voice that would say. These are the people from the cities and the towns around America speaking with one unified voice, not in large coalitions, but in a large mass of movements in smaller areas. So I think that's the logic behind it. Not so much that, I probably say, well, what's Pittsburgh really going to do? I mean, come on, we're this tiny city of 300,000 people. But now I see Philadelphia is going to be next because we got Philadelphia. Erie, Pennsylvania is going to be another city. Greensburg, Pennsylvania. Wow. Just imagine if we had 5 or 6 in Pennsylvania alone. So that's really exciting. And I would say this, and I don't mean to downplay the work that has to be put into this. It's not a high bandwidth. And what I mean by bandwidth, you may know this, is it isn't so labor intensive. We're doing this with just a group of 8 or 9 people, and now we're building the larger coalition after we get all the work going. Don't try to build a larger coalition first and then try to get the work done. Start doing the work with a very committed few and then build out. Seems to be the best way to get the thing rolling and moving along. I've seen in other cities people say, I can't get my coalition together. That's not the first goal. The first goal is to get the work going and let the coalition start to build around the work. So I don't know if that makes sense to anyone, but it certainly has been very, very successful here.
Next up is Joan Goddard from San Jose, California. Go ahead, Joan.
Hi. Several of my questions have been answered, and I was really glad in your answers that you were able, Paul, to give us more about other places, because that was one of my questions, and whether there is some kind of national coordinating group. But Nancy or Cheryl, when she talks about the guides, will probably tell us about that, if there is one. And thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. So there's if you go to moneyforhumanneeds.org, moneyforhumanneeds.org, that is the a national website, and it shows all the different cities that are already signed on. We have 19 members of our coordinating committee nationally. Including Nancy Price and Walter Tillo, who was originally from Pittsburgh, Margaret Flowers from Popular Resistance. So just a great group of people, and of course it's growing. But it's a national group, but it's a national group of small cities working together and large cities.
Nancy Price has her hand up, but before I turn it back to her, I wonder if Susan Smith from Pittsburgh would like to say anything, Pittsburgh Wolf, about working with Paul and what it's been like for you.
Okay, do I need to do anything to be able to be heard? I've not used this platform much.
We sure can.
Okay, well, this is Susan Smith. I'm from Pittsburgh, and I have worked with Paul on Stop Banking the Bomb, and we've been having some conversations about Move the Money. So I think that he's right. I mean, we have a number of people. We've had different kinds of protests and things, but this starting with a small group and trying to move things forward has been really effective in getting things to happen. And so I'm thinking about, well, the Move the Money that we've been hearing about, but also Stop Banking the Bomb, because there's been a small core of people who have been going to protests with signs and things in front of different branches of PNC, but they've also been really active in getting people to become shareholders, buying one share of PNC so they can go to the meetings. And one man who has been really dedicated to getting this resolution before all the shareholders. And we don't expect it's going to pass this year, but now we have it and we can keep bringing it back and hopefully build some momentum. But in the process, we now have other groups and other people who are supporting. Or the Green Party has been coming out regularly for some of the different events and other people, so, and some younger people. So it's been, I think, a really effective way. And because it's planned out and there are specific steps and it increases in what it's doing, it's not like going to just another march. I mean, marches can be effective, but they need to be part of a bigger plan. And this Move the Money and the Stop Banking the Bomb, there has been, here's where we start. We start with conversation, and then when that doesn't work, we do this. And so it's been very well planned out and very well led by the people who are doing that. So, it's been very impressive. I have been involved, but not as actively involved as some, and it's been really a pleasure to watch.
Great, thank you. Nancy Price, you're up next, and I think
I can wait for some more questions if you'd like. That's perfectly fine.
You said what, Nancy?
I can wait for some more questions if you wish.
Right. I don't have any more hands up. If more people have questions, they can press number 1 on their phone keypad,
but there are no other hands up at the moment.
Okay. Well, then, thank you, Paul, so very much. This was really a very important contribution right now to how to organize. Using your examples and the materials you've produced, I am working with Cheryl Spencer, with whom we'll hear from later, and I'm supposed to be writing a resource guide on community organizing. So you provided me with some wonderful materials.
My pleasure. That's great. Awesome.
Yes. And so I just want to say to the guests on the program, the people on the program right now, that if you want to do something tomorrow, call your member of the House in Congress and ask your member to please join the Military Reduction Spending Caucus that Barbara Lee and Mark Pocan created last spring. And we need to get that caucus populated with people who will support the goal of military reduction in military spending. That's number one. Number two, since there are now about 10 or 12 cities that are working on such resolutions at present in various stages, I am going to be sending out to members and branches of those cities a sort of how-to packet, telling them who to contact, who's working on the Move the Money campaign in their city. And I probably will send my notes from this community organizing so that they will appreciate where they might fit in and really join in the effort locally. I want to remind people that back in 2015, 16, 17, we had the No Trans-Pacific Partnership resolution campaign. Maybe, Paul, you don't know about that, but we got about 150 cities to sign on, many of the large cities and many small cities, and it really built the movement because labor, AFL-CIO and SEIU joined in the Sierra Club. So finally, we had such a large number of cities, small and large, that the movement to have Obama not sign on to the TPP really peaked. And then, of course, the election of 2016 led to the collapse of us joining that agreement. So I just want to say that this bottom-up resolution campaign can really work and be very influential. And so I think if we can really engage our branches in their local efforts, we'll contribute greatly to, I think, moving this campaign forward and building the movement that we need. Biden has said that he will not increase the military budget, and already there's Republican backlash against that, saying, yes, there needs to be more funding. So we're at a pivotal moment, and I think there's some very specific line items that we need to be targeting. So I will be producing some more materials on that. Thank you very much, and maybe we can proceed with the program here, Mary Beth, then, if you wish.
Sure. Paul, we hope you'll hang on to hear about Wilf's ongoing contribution to the Move the Money Project.